Yes.
You're not with your host. In fact, you are here with the child, Emily Stimson, also known as Moss, also known as the favorite, and mother.
Mommy of the Moss.
The boss of the group.
That's right.
Some would call her the tree where the moss grew from.
Well, I'm the root.
The root.
I am dealing with flowers.
That's the flowers.
I'm dealing with flowers now.
There are flowers behind us. We're heading to my best friend's birthday. Because flowers, we think the flowers made a mess in the car.
Oh, well.
We gotta think positive because it's a birthday day.
Correct.
My word of advice, think positive on birthday days.
There you go. Well, she saw a dog crossing the street.
The dog has crossed the street.
Okay.
We hope the dog is okay. I am brushing my hair in the car because we are very late.
We are, especially because you got it signed into Zoom meeting.
I've got to sign it to a Zoom meeting. I'm already 5 minutes late and we're like 25 minutes away. We're really crunching it here. And by crunching it, I mean we're failing.
Yeah.
But it'll all be okay. We got to keep positive, saying that it'll all be okay. We look great, the two of us. Yeah, we have the same colors, man. We look awesome.
Jello. Hey, apúrate con tu este porque ya las flores ya traen hasta la madre, eh?
So, me lo puedes dar, so te lo voy a poner con mis piernas. In this San Carlos Computer Club meeting, we're cosplaying as my dad and my sister.
There you go.
Oh. We're struggling with flowers. We are on the open road. It's time to say goodbye to the San Carlos Computer Club. There hasn't been a lot of content, I realize.
That's right.
Not a lot of content.
We're on our way to Guaymas and I'm driving, so...
Wait, you are here with... This has been your host, Scott Stimson.
And the mom, Julia Stimson.
And this has been the San Carlos Computer Club intro. Enjoy the episode, my dudes. Take on.
And everybody walk through there to get their... paperwork for the U.S. is what I read, and that's a long hold up because that doesn't open until 10.
Yeah. Hi, Chester.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Good to see you. Judy and I were just talking about getting across the border, what it's like right now, the latest reports, and testing this equipment to make sure everything's working okay.
Sounds good to me.
Did you bring any topics to today's meeting?
No, I just came to listen.
Okay. No pressure.
No pressure. My neighbor behind me built a small swimming pool, and they trucked in water for it yesterday.
A swimming pool, so in Loma Del Mar, so it's, mm-hmm. Is that a thing? I haven't paid any attention. Do you guys have individual pools as well as the communal
pool? Some people do, yeah.
I didn't even realize that was a thing.
Two of them I know of. This is either a small pool or a large hot tub. It's not very big. It's kind of maybe 14 by 14-ish.
Okay. Very personal.
But yeah, there's two that I know of, two personal pools and lots of personal hot tubs, you know.
That would be terribly expensive to heat if it's a hot tub because of its size.
Well, unless it's the summer, then they're all hot tubs.
That's true. Then you have to cool them.
You could probably get more for your property if you listed both a cool tub and a hot tub.
Plus, I've been looking at the new rule about importing vehicles.
Oh.
What's that new rule?
It's going to be 2,500 pesos to import. They're trying to get rid of the illegals that are here. It's what I understand. The illegal vehicles. No,
by legalizing them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which makes me really
I'm all in
happy.
Favor of that.
Me too.
Let's take the crime out of the cars.
It's negligible.
Exactly. I figured, gosh, mine's a 2005, and they wanted like 6,000 or 7,000 to import it last year. And it's probably not worth that much, you know, but... If I can do it for 2,500 pesos, I can do it. That's good.
I currently own two vehicles that they are not importing. In fact, maybe you read something. I have a vehicle that has a Japanese. It's a Honda 99. It has a Japanese, VIN number, and they won't import it. And the
maybe
other vehicles.
Under the new regulation, they will, Scott.
You think?
Maybe.
Maybe. So you haven't read anything about it, though.
No.
See, I think we're gonna. They're about to start the registered lists again, like an Onapapa. And I think we're gonna put it on the Onapapa list.
Yeah. Well, that's the one that you're going to go be able to, with just the title, go and get Mexican plates on it, is what I was told
Friday. So we're hoping that there won't be an issue. Yuya seems to think that we'll be able to put it on that list and then get it registered.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. A friend
of
mine.
Our other vehicle is a Kia. It's Korean.
But they have Kias here.
They do, but not this Kia. They have Hondas here, too. But they don't have this Honda. And it has to do with VIN numbers and importations and tariff rules and things like that.
So maybe they're going to forego that for a brief period. So who knows? But it makes me happy. I'd love to be able to import my Explorer, my old one, and not have to drive to the border to do it.
Right. Well, right now, I don't even try and drive the Honda anywhere outside of San Carlos. I mean, as far as Guaymas, I don't even think I would drive it to Empalme at this point. Just because I don't want to be hassled by it.
No.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing this morning? You're muted.
What's wrong with my screen here?
No, now you're here.
Oh, now it's coming. Now it's coming.
I was going to say it's a
Judy.
Little fishy.
Hello, Judy.
Hello. You've got little green fish behind you.
Yeah, I'm underwater right now.
Good.
I'm off of Soggy Peso. There's Chester. Hello, Chester.
Good morning.
Chester's in the woods and I'm in the water.
All right.
And I'm in my casa.
We're in our casa too, actually.
When are you coming down?
We're down.
You are? I walked by.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I walked by yesterday. When did you get here?
A week ago yesterday.
Well, you're keeping a low profile.
That's true. Well, I might have been out fishing some. My new car.
Your new
be
car?
Here because the old car has a dead battery.
Oh.
So the one I keep to go fishing and birding has to be fixed up. We're only here till a little bit after Thanksgiving. We're getting ready for a cruise in January.
Oh, fun. You know, if you put your car over to AutoZone, they'll replace that battery. They'll do it all.
Well, where are you cruising to?
Well, I was going to yank the battery out and take it over there and trade it. I think I got it there. I don't know if they have any warranties on it.
They keep it by your phone number, and yes, they do.
Oh, good. Well, I might get some discount.
But really, they'll do it for you. You don't have to handle it.
Yeah, but I have to get it there.
So jump it and drive it.
Turn it up. Oh, Peggy wants to hear Judy. I'm turning you up.
Hi! Welcome back. I haven't seen you.
I know. I'm quarantining.
That's why they need
masks. Hey, Fred. Peggy's afraid of everybody.
Oh.
Good morning.
You
we got
to be
about
careful
5 minutes till the actual meeting starts, and we're all just catching up.
Busy's talking.
Oh, Paul, where are you cruising to?
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Hawaii from our hometown in Pedro, California.
We did that cruise a number of years ago, and we really ran into some rough water. Jan was sick all the way.
Well, I like rough water. No. We went one time when there was like 15-foot seas. I enjoyed it.
I can't. It gets me.
Yeah. Well, we don't fly because Peggy gets sick and nervous in an airplane. So.
Well, it's more fun on the boat.
It is, yeah. Well, we've gone, how many times, Peggy, to Hawaii? At least twice.
So you cruise there and cruise
our first
back?
Cruise.
How long a cruise is that?
15 days. 5 days to cross to Hawaii, 5 days around the islands, 5 days back.
You said it's your first
really
cruise?
Nice.
No. We've made a lot of cruises because I used to go on these ukulele cruises to Alaska and down the coast of Mexico and stuff like that.
I've probably made about 15 cruises. We finally discovered that that's the best way to travel.
Yeah, that we've made about 15. We're on Princess, we're the Hoi Polloi card holders, you know.
It's a good, Princess is good. My favorite was Oceana, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, Peggy and her sister and I go, and Peggy and her sister have a room with a balcony and the ocean view, and I get an interior room right across the hall.
Yeah.
So it worked out pretty good. I can be in there watching my movies and not disturb anybody.
Right.
And now, I don't know if you guys know, but Princess has this... high-tech system, and you can stream dozens and dozens of movies if you want.
Really? Wow, that's new.
And you have a little token that opens your door, and what else, Peggy? You can tell where you are on the ship. They'll have electronic ship maps, and when you stand there, it shows, you know, you are here.
Well, that's neat.
And it's good for, there's also ways for us to communicate with each other.
Yeah, you bet. That's why we always carry little transmitters.
Citizen CB?
Yeah.
Well, now we use our phones.
Hey, we've got just a few more seconds before I open up this meeting.
No,
is there any
topics?
We're
having a cruising meeting right now.
I heard that. I think I'm jealous. That sounds like a great way to spend 15. Say that again?
We were on the first cruise ship to come to Guaymas 10 years ago or so.
Oh, that's interesting. One of the few that have come to Guaymas. Oh, we've got like 5 seconds. I'm going to open us up to this meeting on YouTube here. Here we are. Hey, hi, this is Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions with the San Carlos Computer Club. Here on a Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., we get together and talk about tech news items and try and troubleshoot each other's problems, the computer problems, that is. That's what we're here for, is to solve tech problems. If you've come with other problems, I'm definitely not an expert in anything except technology. I feign an expert on TV. How are you guys doing this morning? I hope everybody's feeling good out there.
I've got this pain in my side. What do I do?
You call a doctor. Next question. I see Mom just hopped on here too. We got the six of us here. We got a good group of people. And I did send out a link to a document of potential topics for today. If people are interested in looking at what that is, I'll stick that link in the meeting right now. If somebody has come with a topic they got to get off their chest right now, well, we've never been a very organized group. We are a bit agendaless, and we're not dedicated to this document or the next thing that's going to be said. Does anybody have anything they would like to bring up? In fact, with Judy here, she was telling me she's done some speed tests on her new fiber link, and I wanted to hear how that went. Why don't you share that with us?
Okay. Well, a week ago Friday, I believe it was, I got the first fiber install in Loma del Mar, as far as I know. So the guys came up to the door, and I thought they were here to fix my phone, but really they were here to install the fiber. So they did that. And I have a new modem, which is very similar to Juan's modem, except it's got 6 lights rather than 2. So then I call, because I keep getting this unsecure, network is not secure. Network is not secure. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So I finally called Mexico City and talked to a guy there who told me that just changing the password is not enough. I had to change the name of the modem. So we did that, and come to find out, in this modem from Telmex Infinitum, there are 2 different parts to it. The first is a 2.4, Scott will tell us what this is, and the other is high.
Yeah, so this, you're talking about the different frequencies that we run Wi-Fi at, 2.4 gigahertz.
Okay, so they're both in the same modem, and I had to change the name on both of those parts.
Okay.
Okay, so he told me that if I go for the higher speed fiber, which I haven't changed anything, I just went on and I haven't done anything, I should use the 11.5, or the 5, not 11.5, but the 5 frequency. And otherwise, I could just keep it the way it is. So I decided I would run a speed test. So this was last week sometime, or maybe yesterday. So the one part of the modem, the 2.4, getting 29.5 and 21.7 down. The 5 part of the modem is getting 30.4 and 21.1.
So let me understand the way you tested this. You connected individually to each of the signals.
Yes.
And then ran.
And because each one of those modems show up as a different place that I can connect.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. Then I go to 1s and I was getting 44.1 and 8.6.
Okay. That sounds so, like 1. Yeah.
So 1's upload is much worse, but his download is much better. So right now I just use 1. I've paid for him 3 days, so it doesn't really, you know.
Well, yeah, in that respect, as long as his system continues to work at the level it does, I'll probably always have it as a backup.
Right.
I feel like we with Telmex and with Juan, I have got 2 flaky systems, and one of them is bound to be working for me, and they both tend to work more often than they don't. So I feel fortunate in that respect.
So it took me until yesterday to get my install complete because the Infinitum people brought it into the house, and I told you they ran the fiber across my Attican.
Yeah.
So that part, which was like maybe 4 feet, maybe less, that part was the responsibility of the park.
Yeah.
Don't ask me that. Anyway, even though the inside of the house they did and up to, so the park finally came yesterday and finished. They put PVC over it, the fiber, and then they just anchored it. They didn't glue it together or anything, but and I was confused. I thought they were at least going to seal it together, but no, they left it open just in case they have to replace the fiber.
Well, your experience, unfortunately, you're one of the first, but it's very clear to people in Loma del Mar is that they should be in charge of that PVC install out to the curb so that when Telmex comes to run the fiber in, it's got its complete coverage, complete protection. So
and
they
see,
don't have...
I have Mangara that runs from the box all the way into my house, but for some reason they couldn't, even though they pulled the old copper out, they couldn't run the fiber through.
Or they didn't choose to for some reason. I wonder if you had been out there saying, I want you to run it through this hose, if they would have done it that way for you, but they just chose to do it the way they did it.
They chose to do it that way and drill another hole through my wall rather than using the Mangara that goes all the way into my house. But anyway, it's done. And,
it's too bad you had to learn that lesson, but what good information to pass on to other people in Loma del Mar. If I had a property there going through this installation, I'd be out there going, why aren't you using the hose? You don't have to draw another, you don't have to drill another hole.
And
right?
Had I known what I know now, I would probably do that and at least require them to get my modem set up properly, which they refused to do, and they didn't. The guy that was supposed to do it never came back, so that's why I ended up calling Mexico City. So it just was easier. So
the
reason they didn't run the fiber into your house is because when they pulled the copper, they didn't pull a string with it.
Yeah.
If they pull a string with it, then they can attach that to the...
That's probably true.
That's a very good point, Paul. Yeah, because you do have to have some kind of draw through it.
So if anybody is interested for Loma del Mar, you're welcome to come and look. And so now my desk has 2 modems and...
So one thing that I found interesting about your speed tests is that you chose to do them across the two different Wi-Fi signals in your house. Now, all other things being equal, you should have gotten the same results. But I didn't hear the numbers. Was there a dramatic difference between the two speeds?
You're talking about the speeds on the Infinitum modem?
Yeah, when you were connected to the 2.4 versus 5.
No, they're very 29.5 down on one and 30.4 down on the other. And then they were both 21-ish, you know, upload.
Those are very respectable speeds for fiber. And it actually brings up another point about the 2.4 or the 5 gigahertz. Mm-hmm. Is that I actually forget all the time that the 5 gigahertz allows you to do faster Wi-Fi connection speeds. You can actually get up to around 300 millibits per second, megabits per second.
If you're willing to pay the difference.
Well, hold on. Now, this is before internet. I'm just talking about your Wi-Fi connection. I wanted to make that distinction because you don't, when you're dealing with internet speeds that are 20, 30, 60 megabits per second, then it doesn't matter which Wi-Fi you're connected to. But that Wi-Fi does actually allow you to go up to speeds like 300 megabits per second. You do have to be able to take advantage of it. Most of us are not taking advantage of it through our internet provider.
See, and with my fiber in Colorado, that's pretty normal. Over 400 is pretty normal but that's in Colorado.
Yeah, and that would be a really good reason you'd want to use the five gigahertz connection.
And that was my only choice. I mean, I didn't have an option to rename two different parts of the same modem.
On this modem, you had to get in Colorado. Rename it manually. Oh,
here,
in Colorado.
I had to rename both parts because the guy, I said, okay, I'm done. And he said, no. You need to change the name on the other one. And I said, what other one? So anyway.
Well, regardless, yeah. I'm not quite sure why you'd have to rename anything except to keep track of which connection you're connected to.
And that's how it shows up. Like if I was going to go now and log on to one, it would be the name, and I could log on to that one with my password. Or I could go to the one that's _5, the name _5, and log on to that one. So I can log on to all three of them.
Yeah, see, if you can have them as the same name and they sort it out, I see that as an advantage unless there's a reason that you have to specify one over the other. Like you support both, but it's very important to you you're connected to one over the other.
And he led me to believe that I did have to change, for the security, I did have to change the name on both parts of that modem.
That's interesting.
I thought it was too, but I wasn't going to. I thought you would have the answer.
Well, yeah, no, I'm surprised that, I mean, it's funny, I'm sorry, I'm looking at my watch because I'm getting a call from a Hermosillo number, which is it's always my cell phone carrier. It's always Telcel trying to sell me something. And so I never answer. But for some reason, they decided that I rejected the call too quick and called me back.
Oh.
But regardless, what was it that we were just talking about?
We were talking about why I had to rename both parts of my one modem.
I wouldn't think that you would be increasing your security simply by changing the name, but in that pass, you would also be bumping up the security in the settings.
Well, see, I had changed the password thinking that that was all I needed to do, but then I kept getting that message, network is not secure.
But did you need to, when you were working with the guy from Telmex, did you need to switch from WPA to WPA2?
No, he did that.
Okay, so that's the change that increased the security for you. I don't know about the renaming, but the thing that fixed your insecure network was that bump.
But see, I couldn't figure out how to do it by going on to all the Telmex tutorials. So I thought, why am I beating my head against the wall when I can get a guy from Mexico City who speaks speaks English, and we'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. So now your network is secure and 2020. I mean, that's the way I would look at what you've got. I would just consider it 20 down and 20 up. That's symmetric. Sometimes you got about a 10, 15 megabyte boost, but you can probably reliably think 20. And that's a reasonable.
It's more like 30 down, 20 up.
Well, if you can rely on that, then that's awesome. Yeah. I was hedging my bets. I was like, 20's a lot. 20's great. Mm-hmm. 20's enough for two TVs watching Netflix and 4K at the same time, happily, without bumping into each other.
The reason, so not only did my hot water heater, the core of the hot water, or core of the water heater went defunct, so it was leaking. So I had to get a new water heater. And then I had already scheduled to get my new inverter, my Mirage Magnum 19 inverter. And so it's been one of those kind of weeks. And it's only Tuesday.
Well, and I wonder if Bill and Cheryl aren't traveling because they aren't here with us. Did they say something about not being with us this week?
I thought they were staying in Vegas for 3 weeks for some reason, and this would be end of the 3 weeks, wouldn't it?
Maybe they've got hot machines.
What about daylight savings? Isn't that affecting all of you folks in your mutual areas, except for us in Arizona? And
no.
You're
in San Carlos, but in Arizona and in Sonora, we don't have to worry about it. But Jim, you're suffering.
In Ontario, that's right. You're an hour earlier.
I wonder if it Las Vegas, did they lose an hour or an hour? Yeah, an hour earlier.
Nevada.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. I bet Bill and Cheryl don't realize they're probably on Nevada time already.
Yeah, they might be. They might be. Well, I know they're on the road, though.
That's right, Linda. They are. Hi, I saw you hop on, but I was so invested in Judy's story, I didn't say welcome. And Mom, it's good to see you, too. I'm glad you were able to make it. And Jim's with us, too. This is a big group. You guys all snuck on. I didn't have to let anybody in.
Well, that was interesting.
So did you see the article about the Apple 13 and how they put this chip in it?
No. What are you talking about? The new iPhone?
Yes, they put a chip in it. And if you used to be able to, if you broke your screen or something, go to somebody. But they put this chip in it now that you have to go to Apple to get it replaced.
I did see that. That's right. That it shuts off your facial recognition. This is something that Apple's been doing for a while now, that you had to get these certified parts that when you change the screen, you wouldn't lose the fingerprint reader or the facial recognition.
So when people think all this stuff is going on, Big Brother's watching. They got control over everything you do.
Well, in this case, Big Brother is a big corporation called Apple.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons that we should all be in favor of our politicians pushing the right to repair.
Anybody that believes this hasn't been going on for decades now is very naive.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
that's my 2 cents worth.
Well, and you're absolutely right. It has been an issue. It has been an issue for repairers. There are phones and iPods out there that just do not get to use their fingerprint sensor because they had their screen replaced with a part that is not licensed by Apple. And even though the part, absolutely nothing wrong with the part, it will not satisfy the security certificates to validate your security hardware. And so that's what you lose out on. Jim, I'm sorry, you're talking, but I think I muted you because we were listening to your plate.
Well, I was going to make another observation that I just read about OXXO, the corporation that owns OXXO.
You're talking about here in Mexico? You're talking about here in Mexico?
Yes.
Yeah.
The corporation that owns OXXO also owns the Coca-Cola bottling company, which is the second world's largest Coca-Cola bottling company.
Wow, that's interesting. I would have thought that was Coca-Cola.
No. I think they're in Monterey.
Okay.
So they own a lot more. So when people think, and I'm not going to get into politics, but when people think things aren't happening and these big corporations don't own everything and you see all the agreements between countries, you have to look more under the surface, that's my point, than just at the surface,
right,
about how things work and how things go and who's controlling everything. So that's my two cents for today.
Yeah, good. I just the idea of being able to change your screen, being able to repair your equipment without avoiding your warranty. The right to repair is something we should all be endorsing. Things should be built in a way that they be repaired, and you're not dependent on that company still being around or whatever price that they're going to pay. If I want a screen that's not a legitimate screen, but that's going to work for me and I'm willing to do that because it costs me less money, there should be a competitive market for that. And it shouldn't be that Apple's able to void your warranty or make it nearly impossible for you. Like, that's what this stuff is. It's just making it, it's breaking your device if you don't take it to them to fix it. And their core charges are ridiculous. You're halfway to a new phone, even when you have a warranty with them, to get a screen replaced.
I think the political part of that process was brought about by farmers being unable to repair their tractors and other heavy farming equipment.
You're right, Chester. It's the John Deere effect that's been going on, where they can't fix their... It's all the same thing, but the farmers have a really good argument there. You spend nearly hundreds of thousands of dollars on farm equipment, and you can't pull a wrench on it and fix it, which is so unfarmer in the first place.
That's the group that has raised political firestorm over the issue. And I think they'll win.
Yeah, Chester, it's funny because you think about the political leanings of the people we're talking about. You've got farmers aligning with iPhone repair shops. They're all in the same group on this topic, the right to repair. That's the buzzword for it.
Cars have been that way since 99.
Mm-hmm. Just be thankful you have standardized cable ends, connectors.
Yeah. And
so, as the daughter of a farmer, I drove a 1969 Saab for many, many years that had one of my dad's leather belts as one of the belts on it. So.
That's great.
Well, no, you know, you're right about the car dealers, because you almost have to buy their warranty now. They've got so many computers in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many repair guys that don't know how to repair these computers. So you're really almost stuck buying their extended warranty.
Or you can trade the car off when the warranty's up. Look, there's Cheryl. She's an hour late.
Hey, there she is. We were talking about you. Are you guys caught in daylight savings?
Well, we're... Yes. We're waiting. We're just going to have some breakfast, and we're going to be joining you guys at 9:45 our time. But of course, that's not San Carlos time, because San Carlos didn't change their clocks. Is that right?
That's right.
That's correct.
Oh, geez. Okay. So we're really behind the times.
So it's 9:30 there, right?
Yes. We're in Vegas, and it's 9:24.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways.
Well, if I were in Alaska, it would be 8:24, and I certainly wouldn't have had my coffee yet.
Are you in Arizona? So
yes, we're in Arizona.
Yay!
So, Cheryl, I love the wings.
Oh, yeah. The Bellagio Fountains, the Bellagio Gardens have a big fairy display on right now, and have a little photo op where they have wings. And, Bill took a picture of me as the fairy godmother. So
great photo on Facebook. If you're not following Cheryl and Bill, you're missing out on their Facebook persona.
I did get one of Bill, but it was at nighttime, and it was my stupid iPhone keeps putting things on live, and I just have the wrong lighting and then the wrong picture for him. So we might have to redo it.
Well, we were waiting for you because you had a question about updating your iPhone from last week, and Judy's with us, and I couldn't remember exactly what your concern was. Did you want to ask her?
Well, I just wondered about the recommendation, if it was something we should do. So it turns out that my iPhone, I went to 14.8.1, and Bill's went to 15. Like, he just bought his, and it was already
at 15.
And how is 15? I haven't done the 15.
Well, we don't know how to compare it to the other because, it, like I said, it's a brand new iPhone and it's a different version. And he's just busy trying to get it all set up. So,
okay, Scott. Question.
Yes, Linda.
Should we upgrade to Microsoft 11? I have the notice on my one laptop. The other one, I'm not going to upgrade. But
Linda,
the new
it
laptop.
Is. It is completely up to you. It is not a standard recommendation with my customers. My recommendation as a tech person helping people that pay me to know more than they do is that Windows 10 will be supported until 2025 with full feature and security updates. And if you're already running Windows 10, it will continue to run 10 at least as well as it's running 10 now, hopefully better as we move into the future. Windows 11 is not a reason to buy a new computer, but by 2025, you will probably own a computer more appropriate for Windows 11 or buy a computer with Windows 11. And so that's been my standard line, is you don't need it on an old computer, and you should probably get it when you buy a new computer. That said, I know you, Linda, and I'd be really curious to hear how Windows 11 goes for you on your computer.
Okay, so the solid state, which is new, should I upgrade it to 11?
Your computer, so far, the biggest thing that I've seen, biggest reason not to upgrade to 11 is the AMD chipsets apparently are showing a slower performance, a significantly slower performance with Windows 11.
No.
It has to do with drivers, and so if yours is AMD, I definitely say hold back from the Windows 11 update.
No, it's no. Intel i5 solid state.
And then
and it was new last year.
It was new last year, so that's probably a good candidate for 11.
Okay.
But yeah, but again, my recommendation to my people is you do not have to upgrade to 11. You're not missing out on anything. The Windows 10 is going to be fully supported. But I know, Linda, you are a curious technical person, and I'd be very interested in hear about your experience.
Okay. So I'll upgrade the one. The other one I'm not upgrading because it was it won't let it upgrade. I'd have to do a bunch of different stuff to it to do it. So I'm not going to bother on it. It's old. It was a Windows 7.
My theory is that by the time we hit 2025, if you're still running Windows 10 on a computer that's still performing and giving you value, then you're going to be able to upgrade it to 11 to stay compatible. And there'll be some trade-offs you'll be making, but you'll be okay with it because that computer's still doing what you expect it to do.
Okay.
Cool. And I've got a follow-up. Since you're all on here, let me just stick the link to this document in our chat in case anybody wants to look at it. Last week we were talking about the Squid Game crypto scam, and
oh, yeah.
I found a really decent article on Wired that talks about what exactly went down, how they promoted it, how they built up the crypto coin, how it gained in value, and then how they call it a rug pull, where the people that started it got out of it with millions of dollars, and all of a sudden the coin just disappeared. So you can find that in the list, in the document of possible topics. I'll also just drop the link here in our chat just for posterity here. Come on. There we go. The Squid Game coin scam, which I was surprised in the narration they talked about how just being associated with Netflix, having that name, literally that's all it had, was the name of this popular show from Netflix, gave it some real legitimacy to people that were looking at it. And so people are really duping themselves. In fact, it was very interesting. They did an interview with an investor that's been investing in these style coins. And he was very self-aware that the value that in these kinds of financial devices is completely arbitrary and derived from almost nothing. And that if you're going to be speculating, that you should be ready to lose money. That this, even though he lost, a considerable amount, at least in my world, he was ready to take those kinds of losses because he understands exactly what he's doing.
I read an article, or I heard an article, I guess is better, that this woman had purchased a Bitcoin for like $300 quite a few years ago, and it's now worth $60,000, and she's been advised not to sell.
By whom?
By this guy that was talking on this article on NPR.
You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I listen to tech pundits all the time talking about Bitcoin speculation. And they talk about how if they had sold, like when it was at 10,000, whatever they had, they're at like a 10,000. It's like, geez, just if I hadn't sold then, look at what it would be worth now. I also hear people talk about how I had so many coins and I lost my wallet, or I've got my wallet and I can't get into it. I don't know my password. I've lost my password.
So, I think that if you've made that much money, you ought to take it and run.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if all of a sudden it's worth $60,000, I think I would sell it immediately. I'm done. Happy I did that.
Wonder how much in tax.
Right. That's the other reason. That's the other reason to sell quick. They still haven't figured out how to tax.
Right.
Sell quick.
You don't have to take it all.
Right.
Well, if you only have one and you sell it, you'd have to take it, right?
Well, you can just leave. Yes, you may have to sell that particular one, but you can probably stay on the ride for see what happens. But she should have at least get their $600 or whatever she paid for that first.
Well, in this document, I see a number of you've jumped into it. We do have some news articles I thought or other people thought would be interesting. The first one on this list is this 12-year-old coder that has created NFTs that are estimated at over $400,000, which I immediately shared this article with my 13-year-old that's a Minecraft and artistic fanatic. I'm like, here you go, baby. Make us some money. This kid apparently has been making art, like Minecraft art. He's 12 years old, and he learned how to program NFTs, and so he started releasing them as NFTs. I think Bill and Cheryl had shared this article with us, and now his NFTs have been in the marketplace.
Actually, it was...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cheryl.
It was actually Bill that was sharing it. And he found it extremely interesting. What is it, like something about whales or something?
Well, that's, in fact, I mean, at the paragraph pictures. Here where he says, in June, he began coding weird whales, his second NFT collection. So he's done these pieces of art that are NFT collection. It features 3,350 pixelated whales, each with distinct traits. I think I've got one on the screen right now, if you can make that out. Traits similar to the iconic pixelated CryptoPunks, one of the first NFT collections to exist. So these NFTs are all about this kind of fictitious scarcity or this virtual scarcity. They've marketed it. It's been passed through hands. And since he's done this, he has held his profits in a sum that's worth $255,000 in today's price. Mm. It says here he has made over $350,000 to date. And by the end of August, his projects, his total earnings will be over $400,000. This is crazy. If anything, this is a great example of how capitalism is just a construction of society to begin with. He doesn't have a bank account. He says eventually he'll probably... Oh, here's a picture of his weird whales collection. There's thumbnails right there. Let me see if I can bring that picture just up. But the financial device that's been created is his artwork, and then it's been put out there on the market. No, I can't bring it up. It's out of it. Not going to worry about it.
Well,
anyway,
if he doesn't have a bank account, where's the money going?
He actually says in here he'll probably soon have a bank account for tax purposes. But right now, he's just got a cryptocurrency wallet.
Oh.
And so anybody that knows about cryptocurrency in the most basic forms, and I know Linda understands this, they may say that's worth $400,000, but you've got to find people that are set up to take that as payment. So he's limited right now by whoever will accept that coin. as payment. But it is very interesting, and they do have a video at the top of this, an interview with him, a 2.5-minute video, and you probably find it interesting to peruse, and I recommend it. I found it very interesting. I don't know if anybody has any comments on this. Has anybody made any investments in NFT yet? I that's a joke.
Oh,
and we're getting a notification that in 10 minutes we'll be switching over to the other meet. I'm sorry, Linda, go ahead.
So am I to be correct that CFE's taking crypto?
CFE's? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
yes, I think so.
They're taking crypto as compensation? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Wait, I think this NFT, I heard somebody say just recently that this is really the latest version of this. We went through a period of time of CIOs, is that right? Coin initial offerings, where instead of offering stock, they were offering their own version of crypto coin. So you'd be buying, like, I mean, this isn't the company, I can't remember the company that did, but like you'd buy a Skype coin or you'd buy a Discord coin or something like that. And the coin would be evaluated on the market the same way that a stock would. So these NFTs are kind of, or at least this is what I heard a commentator saying, is that this is just kind of the latest version of CIOs. I just always look at it as, I'm sorry, go ahead.
9-minute warning.
9-minute warning. It looks like the clock. So if you haven't opened up a tab with the new meet in it, the meet code, then this is a good time to do it. If you're looking at my screen, you're seeing me do it right now. And I'll paste this into our chat as well in case you don't have it handy. Hey, there we go. Yeah. This is the meeting we will move to as we suck this one dry.
Well, since it appears as though we're in an open spot right now, I have a question or comment.
Certainly, Fred, go ahead.
I asked you a couple of weeks ago what the best VPN is for working out of the country, and what you told me was ExpressVPN. So I bought it and installed it yesterday, and now all it tells me is that you're coming through a proxy. We can't do anything. So basically, for $100, it does me no good. And luckily, they've got 30-day guarantee, and they're about to get it back.
Yeah.
Unless you have
a 30-day guarantee, and they've got pretty bright tech support. What service are you using that's showing up as a proxy?
Well, I've done Netflix, I've done Prime, I've done
Yeah, because it's certainly ExpressVPN's being used here in Mexico without issues to bring these things up. Now, occasionally you do, like Netflix will bring up a message saying you're going through a VPN or proxy, please turn it off. And it seems with ExpressVPN, the solution has been picking a new location. And every once in a while, we've reported to customer service what we've been trying to do, and they've talked us through it. But it always, to me, seems to be the same solution. Pick another location. If you're in Dallas, pick New Jersey. If you're in New Jersey, pick Los Angeles. And eventually there's one that tends to work and tends to work for a long period of time.
Well, it came up with 5 different places and that was it.
You've tried each one of them, huh?
No, I've tried them all. Right now I'm in Miami.
Well, they'll definitely, you're right about the 30 days. They'll definitely take it back if it's not working for you. But they also have really good customer support. I'd encourage you to chat with them online. Tell them exactly where you are and what you're doing and ask for any suggestions.
I will do that.
I just have a question, Fred. Why do you need a VPN in the United States?
He's not in the United States. I'm sorry, Fred.
Oh, you're in Costa Rica.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you were in Miami.
They're porting me through their server in Miami.
Okay, well, if that doesn't work out for you, I have another one that I use that I could send you.
Well, is there a reason you wouldn't just tell us?
Well, I got to go look it up, what the name of it is. I don't remember.
Okay. Hey, Fred, another service that we use here in San Carlos often with lots of success is that Smart DNS proxy. And they've got like a 15-day free thing with it, and it's typically cheaper than the VPN.
That was Smart what?
Smart DNS proxy. In fact, let me look up the web address because it's Smart DNS proxy. Let me make sure you get the specific. Yeah, that's it. SmartDNSproxy.com. And I don't know if you were part of those discussions. We've talked about it in the past. The Smart DNS proxy is a bit different from the VPN in that what I really like about them system is they're selling you access to Netflix and Hulu and Prime. That's what their product is about. And so what you do is you set them as your DNS. And when you go to look up those services, then that's the moment they reroute your traffic using a DNS lookup. And so they've got servers that they're maintaining to make sure their customers can get at those specific services. I like them because the onus is on them to keep it working instead of you. When you use a VPN, the onus is really on you. Whereas you use this, the onus is really on them because you're literally going through their feeds to get to your content.
Okay, I got my VPN.
What you got there, Linda?
I use VPN Unlimited, and I have been using it for about 10 years. It's real expensive.
I'm just showing the screen of the Smart DNS proxy right now if you're looking at me.
So it's called Keep Solid ID, but it is VPN Unlimited.
Say the name again, Linda. I missed that.
It's called Keep Solid ID.
Keep.
But it's VPN Unlimited.
Solid.
You can get it both ways.
ID VPN.
And it's cheap. I bought it 1 year. I got it on for never. I got it on a deal 1 year, and I've never had to pay since.
Oh, I've got the sign-in screen.
There's no ad. There's no ads or anything.
KeepSolid.com?
Yeah. It's VPN Unlimited. They have several. They have a DNS. They have several things.
So Fred, there's a couple other directions for you. We've been really successful with ExpressVPN for both security and entertainment here in San Carlos. I also feel like we've been really successful with the Smart DNS, and it's slightly cheaper. And the Smart DNS, actually, they offer a VPN as well. And it looks like this Keeps Solid. Linda's been very happy, but I don't know how you got this, but they're offering it for $40 a month here. What else they got here? Privacy. Security.
$40 a month?
Oh, VPN Unlimited from Keep Solid.
I bought one fee and I bought it. I never paid another dime for it all these years.
But it looks like that Keep Solid ID is not for Macs. When I pulled up their website, it's only talking about PCs.
Which is always a possibility. So here is their product, VPN Unlimited. That VPNUnlimited.com is what it redirects me to. This is what you were talking about, Linda, right? Gain access to any online content with Smart DNS solution newly added to Mono Defense. VPN Unlimited.
Yep.
30-day money-back guarantee. Online streaming. High-speed VPN servers. Oh, pricing. Let's see what the pricing says.
$60 for the year.
Billed yearly. Yeah, $5 a month. Billed annually at $60 a year.
Or $99 for 3 years. Billed once. That's the one I'd take.
Three or lifetime. It sounds like that's what you got. You must have gotten a special deal on the lifetime.
Oh my God, I got it for about $20 when I bought it.
That does sound like a special deal. When that's 10% of what the selling cost is for the lifetime here.
But 3 years for $99 is pretty good.
Yeah.
$33 a year, that's pretty cheap.
Well, any of this stuff, I'm sure you get into it and try it out for 30 days and you can probably bump it up at any time.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the one I have and I've used it all the time I lived in Mexico. I used it.
And you've never had a problem using it for things like Netflix or Hulu or Prime?
No. You could take 1 month, Fred, try it for 1 month, and then buy the year or the 3 years.
You might even, what would be
Fred,
interesting
your microphone's
is,
off.
Is using each product side by side. Like this one's telling me I'm on a proxy. Disconnect that, connect the other product, and see if right out of the box without tweaking or asking for help if the problem goes away.
Did I understand Fred right to say that it was like when he was trying to go to Netflix that this message about you are using a proxy and it stops Netflix from going?
Well, Netflix, some of Netflix, Prime, Paramount, Hulu. I was having problems with all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems very strange because it's been so successful around here. I mean, maybe ExpressVPN isn't right for Costa Rica. Maybe it's right for Mexico. Bill, Cheryl, don't you guys use ExpressVPN?
Yes, we weren't for a while, but we re-signed up for it.
Well, that's a testimony right there that you would go back to it.
Well, it was $99 US for the year, I think it was. So $125 Canadian. Anyways, I've been trying to watch Netflix with the VPN because I'm into that homeland. And the only one that it's available on is Canada Netflix. So every night, so I'm not sure if it's a proxy use Netflix problem or it's the internet service in our hotel because it's crappy and it keeps bleeping me out. I get about 5 minutes of the show and then it pauses and then I can see the captioning, but I can't hear anything and there's no picture. You know? So if I just want to read what's happening in the show, I can read it. And then it'll give me unavailable in your area after I've been watching it for a few minutes. So I shut down Netflix, disconnect the VPN from Canada, connect it to the USA, and then I do it back again. And I keep trying to convince Netflix that we still are in Canada. And you know, it's quite a process. But I don't know if it's just because the internet keeps bleeping out.
Well, I wonder if the hotel, it would not be uncommon for a hotel to have more than one internet service to try and provide internet to all its customers. And maybe your VPN is getting lost in multi connections. I know that even myself with the two connections and the router balancing that I do, there are times when my software gets confused because all of a sudden my route has switched to another internet connection. And I could see that affecting a VPN connection where all of a sudden your sources change.
But see, and the other thing is I try to use the VPN for my banking and my Canadian utilities and things like that. And it seems to work perfectly on it. So it's more the, you know, like Amazon Prime and Netflix and things like that, where it seems to keep getting booted out.
Well, there are some options there, Fred, including canceling ExpressVPN, because maybe it's just not the right VPN for Costa Rica.
I will give those other ones a shot and let you know probably next week.
All right. And
I added something into the document. At least I hope it got added. I have a question about
it, but I don't go ahead.
It's a question about Amazon shopping, not Amazon Prime Video or anything like the things that you get from Amazon Prime. Is for the, unfortunately, one of our machines is called Amazon, so it keeps going off. we use it for when we're shopping. Right now, we're in the United States. We have some United States gift cards that we want to use on Amazon.com, but our membership is Amazon Prime CA. So we're having a hard time figuring out if we should, you know, keep trying with Amazon.com or if we should take the free trial for 30 days just to do our shopping and then cancel. And then I know, Scott, you said that you have Amazon Mexico,
mm-hmm.
Prime Mexico.
That's right.
And we're wondering what is the pros and cons and which is the best one to actually pay your monthly subscription to.
You cannot use a gift card. Like if I order from Amazon, it will not use my points or my gift card
right.
If it's shipping to Mexico or if it's Amazon MX.
Well, I think maybe let's make sure we state that correctly because I've run into this in the Microsoft store as well. If you buy an Amazon gift card, it is contingent on the region that you have your account.
Yeah.
So if you buy a U.S. gift card, you're going to have to use it in the U.S. Amazon store. If you buy a Mexican Amazon gift card, you're going to have to use it in the Mexican Amazon store. They are quite literally different companies because of the way Mexico's laws are. And I'm sure it's the same in Canada. If you buy a Canadian gift card, it's only available to you in the Canadian store. And Prime should be thought of the same way, is that your Prime benefits are only available to you in the region that you've paid for Prime. I paid for Prime in Mexico and the U.S., so I can go into an Amazon app, sign in with my account, and if I'm in the U.S., I've got the U.S. catalog, and if I'm in Mexico, I have the Mexican catalog.
And the funds that you pay in are either pesos or U.S. dollars. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. My Prime is paid in pesos in Mexico and dollars in the U.S. My Prime is much less expensive in Mexico than it is in
your
the United
Prime,
States as well.
Your Prime membership is paid. Your
in
Prime
pesos.
Membership.
Yes.
You pay for your purchases with a U.S. credit card.
Oh, right. Yeah, certainly. I pay for it with a U.S. credit card, but everything's priced in pesos. Everything's dealt with in pesos.
Oh, so if I have an Amazon U.S. Gift card, we actually got three of them, and they're $50 each, so we put them in our Amazon.com account, and it's offering us a free trial for 30 days. So I guess my question is, if I access that free trial just to get the shipping free, I should probably use the whole amount. Like, once the 30 days is up, what happens to my Amazon Prime US?
Oh, well, you either continue it or cancel it. But you're right. You're not able to use it anymore. You either continue it by paying for it, and then it's an annual. Well, I guess you can pay for it monthly, too.
Yeah.
Seems like they have a monthly price for it. So you could continue it for another month.
If you do the month right now, you'll be online for the Black Friday coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So you have an Amazon US account. That's where you put your Amazon US gift cards?
Correct. And but we have an Amazon Prime Canada account.
No, we're talking US.
Okay.
Your Amazon Prime Canada means nothing in now.
Okay, because we have two Amazon.
That's not necessarily fair, because you can do shopping in Amazon Canada that qualifies for shipping to your U.S. or Mexican addresses. This is
but
one of my biggest...
Yeah,
go
but
ahead.
Scott, their gift cards are in their Amazon U.S. account.
Okay, yeah. If you
so
want to use those funds, you're doing it in the U.S. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the way I understand it.
So I think that Fred's right. Do the 1 month free Prime and spend your $150.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the only other option you have is to take advantage of the gift cards without Prime. And without Prime, you're going to be paying for shipping.
Yeah, well, the one item I wanted to order was $3.99, and the shipping was $6. So, you know.
They've incentivized having a Prime account, haven't they?
Yeah, they have done that. But it also says on my Amazon.com, any order over $25, you would get free shipping.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Yeah.
Now, but is that on an item has to be over or the whole order?
The whole order.
Your order.
The whole order. And then when
so
it gets
my
to
order...
the shipping, Cheryl,
what's
when
that?
It gets to the shipping, go down, because if you can wait 7 days or 8 days for the shipping, you get it free anyway without Amazon Prime. I don't have Amazon Prime. I have Amazon Prime Mexico because it's only $50 a year, and I get Amazon the movies up here. Doesn't matter.
But
yeah, that is an interesting side effect, Linda. You have reported that to us before, that you are looking at Amazon movies in the United States using your Mexican account.
Right, right. It's like Netflix. If you get Netflix Mexico,
right?
I know Judy, Becky has Netflix Mexico. I don't, but she uses the Netflix Mexico and she gets it in Green Valley
and the U.S. catalog.
And typically, these accounts are cheaper in Mexico than they are in the United States.
Way cheaper. Yeah. But I don't have an Amazon Prime account, and I get free shipping from them all the time.
Because of the way that you do your purchasing.
If you just go down to the shipping, it gives you all the options. And if you're willing to wait for a week, I never need something the next day. So if you're willing to wait for a week, you get it free anyway.
There's often on the item shipping choices.
Yeah.
So yesterday I added all the items into my cart. There's three items. It adds up to 29 US. So it should be free shipping. But when I go to the actual purchase, purchase site, it put two of them in one order and one of them in another order. And the one that's in the other order, well, then they all have shipping on them and no option to choose the wait a week.
Well,
you have to have that option.
Is there a free option, though, in the shipping? They group them together because it's cheaper and easier for them. But then the shopping should, the shipping should be the same options.
No, the shipping on the one order with two items in it is for free. And the other one, like free in 7 days or something. But the other one, it wants
free option.
It only gives me one choice. It only gives me one choice, and it's $5.99 for shipping.
You can see exactly what they're doing there. I mean, that's, there's no question. They're saying that you can take advantage of free shipping, spending more than $25, except you can only do it once, and your order needs two shipping.
But it depends on the seller. That $3.99 is not...
Well, it says sold by Amazon.com, so because I checked that, because I know sometimes it says sold by somebody else, but
yeah, that's...
Anyways,
I would call Amazon and say, what's up with this?
Yeah, it might be worth giving them a call, because you can see exactly what they're doing, but that's not what they're trying. That's not what you thought you were buying.
Okay, so how do you call Amazon?
Yeah, that could be a computer club in its own. There, one way is
to
keep track
of
their
page and go to contact us.
Okay,
when you search through contact us, at some point you're going to find something where you'll have the ability to get a call from them.
Oh,
and you'll give them a phone number and they'll call you. They also have online chat, but I don't know about you guys. It has always been a pain to find that communication.
I've actually found the
easiest way to get a hold of them is to find something you previously bought, but it typically has to be within like the last 60 days. And then Fred's doing what I do now is keep track of their 800 number. Because if you call their 800 number, they will answer in the typical support fashion and transfer you through menus. Can you read that? 1-888-280-4331. And then they have a toll number, country code 1, area code 206-922-0880.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if we've killed Amazon, but we started with the...
Oh, you got a third number there, Fred?
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, there's an 866 number, 1-866-216-1072. Boy, now I feel like I ought to write these.
That's the number I use, 866-216-1072.
Okay.
There's also did you give the 206-922-0880?
Yep.
Hey, can we get those typed into the chat and I'll paste them into today's meeting?
Maybe.
Because I rattle them off, but I didn't write them down.
I have to write them down and then do it, so.
I've got them written down. I'll put it in. Okay.
Thank you, Cheryl.
So if we finished with my Amazon frustrations, and I'm going to phone Amazon.
Thank you, Fred.
I have a continuing saga with the AT&T.
Oh, more AT&T stories.
Last week, we told you we had an appointment with a shopping person at the Apple store. So this experience at Apple was so much better than the first one. And I had an appointment, and Francis was his name. Anyways, he was awesome. He explained to us what we were trying to buy, and we got the iPhone 11, and we got it. It's an unlocked, so I was able to, where Bill was able to put his SIM card in, and away we go. Meanwhile, AT&T has been, for me, $80 US for the two phones, unlimited, all that kind of stuff, since we signed up for AT&T. All of a sudden, this month, it's going to be $90. So I go on the chat and I ask them, you know, why is my bill $10 more? And is this a one-time thing or is it going forward? You know, what's happened? I cannot find anywhere where they break down the charges and the promotions and the discount or anything. So I'm chatting with these guys and basically they say to me, did you make a change to your card? I ask, credit card or SIM card? Because yes, we changed the SIM card into a new phone. He said, no, your credit card. And I said, well, no, I just need to update my expiry date on my credit card because I have auto pay. And he said, well, that's a change. And therefore, you are no longer eligible for the auto pay discount. They're going to charge me $10 more a month because my expiry date happened on the credit card. it sounds like bullshit, and I tried to tell him that, but anyways.
It does sound like bullshit. So they're saying, well, so are you not on auto pay any longer?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I said, so it's on my end, it shows me that my auto pay is active. I said, my credit card will honor the, you know, automatic payment, even past expiry. Yeah. And so I don't understand. But when I tried to go in, he said, well, you're going to have to add your new expiry date. I can't just modify the one I have. I have to set it up as a new credit card. And right. It seems like when I set it up as the new credit card, they're going to ding me. Or how he put it was that I've lost my promotional amount.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, I would call back, Cheryl, and speak to someone else. And then if that doesn't work, I would call and ask for a supervisor.
Yeah, well, and I mentioned that because we're in the chat, right? So mm-hmm. I'm typing and everything. But yeah, so now I have to try and find an AT&T contact that is actually a person that I can talk to.
Are you ready?
I got it.
877-999-1083.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully they haven't changed that number since the last time I talked to them.
And what is it on your phone that you can type to get to customer service?
611.
611. Okay. Thought it might be 811 or 411 or something. 611.
All that just sounds like slimy character or carrier cartel garbage.
But definitely that number is supposed to be the loyalty number. Yes, that's the 877 number. It's supposed to be loyalty. But you're saying that you're getting the bait and switch from them.
Okay. So AT&T prepaid might be different than what we're talking about here because I'm on a prepaid.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. But it sounds like that phone number is, that's a good phone call just to find out.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
And it's a bait and switch tactics. I mean, okay, so it's not your fault that your credit card is expiring.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like they're using the issue that you need to put in a new credit card as a reason. It's almost like you're signing up for another contract that doesn't have the auto pay discount on it.
Right.
Just by changing your payment method. None of that sounds like the correct way. I could see it maybe justifiable if you'd let it go through and they charge you because the date wasn't right. But then you'd think as soon as you put in a proper payment method, you go back to your previous payment schedule.
That's what I'm thinking. So is it a payment schedule? Is it a promotional thing? What, you know, what's going on here? The AT&T prepaid was the whole reason why we couldn't just go into the AT&T store here and buy the iPhone.
Right.
Because they are not retail outlets for cell phones without monthly packages. But I have a monthly package, but for some reason it's called prepaid as opposed to monthly.
So, Cheryl, you don't have the My AT&T app?
I asked him about that. And the My AT&T app, when I look in my Apple store for the app, it says it's for business.
No. It looks like it's my like a blue AT&T. Screen. It says My AT&T.
Cheryl, have you looked for it since you've been in the United States?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's a tab there that says Manage My Auto Pay.
Yes. And I go to Manage My Auto Pay. And what it basically told me was that... Manage My Auto Pay. Like I just had a bookmark. I didn't have the actual app downloaded. Oh. And so all it did was take me to a Safari or to an online browser and got me into my account. So I can log into my account and I can see all these features, but I'm in a browser. I'm not in an app.
Well, that shouldn't matter.
Yeah, it should be the same level. I mean, as far as your changes, your administration of your account, whether you're doing it through a web browser, or you're using a proper app, you should have the same level of access.
Exactly.
So I went to the Manage Auto Pay and I went to update my credit card information. And basically I got a message saying that the website was not available or our payment options are not available at this time. Try again later. And by now it's 4 hours and I've had it.
Oh, yeah.
So I will try again today, I guess, and you know, talk to AT&T.
Okay, Cheryl, I appreciate your frustrations and your story. I have a question for the group, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm hopeful hoping you'll paste those numbers either into the document or into our chat so I can grab those phone numbers. So this kind of follows on to the Amazon question. Right now, I'm looking at buying a couple of screens, don't tell the kids, presents for Christmas. And I'm being offered an Amazon Prime credit card for a discount. And the discount is considerable if I sign up for this card. It's $150 I could save if I sign up for this credit card. And my question is anybody using an Amazon Prime credit card and if they think it's worth it? I see hands going up.
Me too.
Yeah,
it works like any other credit card.
According to Amazon, I've saved $200 and some odd.
Exactly.
This year.
Exactly. Plus it's a tap. You don't have to slide it. It's a tap card. I like that.
Yeah. So
I don't have problems with it. I use it all the time.
So you would recommend it?
There's no foreign transaction fee.
Oh, that's interesting. What about it? Is there an annual fee for it?
No.
No annual
fee. What are you talking about?
It's a JP Morgan card, I think.
I'd get Capital One.
Never getting Capital One again. Screw those people.
Well, I don't have
never
any problem.
Again.
They don't charge any fees. They don't charge any fees.
Well, that
yeah,
wasn't the case.
Yeah, but they're not giving him $150 discount on his Amazon purchase.
How do you know
Capital One has a deal with Amazon now? Go look.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Well, still,
yeah,
I mean,
Costco, guys, I give Amazon card is, credit card a thumbs up. They've done it. I've not had problems at all. So.
All right. Well, I think that's what I needed to hear. I am not somebody that just lightly signs up for credit cards. There was a time back in the early 2000s, but I got out of all that. I have no debt. I'm very careful. And so it means a lot to hear somebody say they really appreciate the Amazon card because I could really appreciate that discount.
Yeah. Well, somebody else got another idea because I've been having a bit of trouble with Garmin. And
Garmin.
The problem is I got two apps on my computer, and the old Garmin went dead or whatever. It didn't work anymore. So I talked to them, and we need maps from Canada, the United States, and Mexico. And they sent me a box that has the Garmin in it, but it just has Canada and the U.S. When I try to talk to them, they say, "Oh, you've got two apps on your computer," and I'd like to know if that would mean that those two apps might be different. In other words, one of them might have the Mexico maps because I've got to get rid of one to talk to them. And how could I find out which one? Or do you think it really matters?
Wow, Jim, these are great questions. But the standalone GPS, is anybody using a Garmin? This is what you're talking about, like for the car?
Yeah, standalone. Yeah, hooks on your dash.
And you'd have to plug it into a computer to load it up with maps. Is that right?
Well, it's already got the Canadian and the American maps in it. But the old one that went on us had the Mexico maps in it too, but it was they were on a card that I had to put in there.
Oh.
And the guy assured me that when I bought the new one and paid him the price that it was going to have all the maps, but the box that he sent me doesn't say that. And so when I try to talk to them about changing it, they don't like to talk to us already because we're doing it on the keyboard. Carolyn's doing it, and it's they keep saying you've got two Garmin apps on your computer, so. If I put the wrong one, I just don't want to lose the Mexico maps in the process, you know?
Okay, so Garmin has all of the maps in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the Garmin app is.
Well, when you, like, they update the maps, we'll say, you know, there's new roads or whatever, you have to go in and do the updates and connect your Garmin to your computer to do that sort of thing. And so when you talk to them, they want to be able to look at your computer or on your Garmin unit through your computer because you're talking to them.
Jim, I don't know if any of us has enough experience with this kind of stuff, but maybe I'm on the support site right now, and it looks to mm-hmm. me like they have an article and YouTube videos specifically for the difference between maps on pre-programmed data cards versus the downloadable content. And it might be a good just mm-hmm. starting point for your research to see that distinction between, because it's all about buying the maps for the region that you need. Let me stick that link in.
And it's We had one once that had just the maps from the Western United States, but not the Eastern United States, because we also had Hawaii on it. And so I tell you, when we literally lost our maps when we crossed the Mississippi. We were on the bridge, and poof, when we got to the other side, there was no maps.
That is such a typical story from 5-10 years ago here in Mexico. You'd go across the Nogales border, and all of a sudden your GPS is blank.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid that's what's going to happen to me with this new GPS that I have, because it says right on it that it's Canada and the United States, but it doesn't say anything about Mexico, even though they said when I was ordering it on talking to a real person on the telephone that it was going to have Mexico in it.
Well, after looking at the support documentation, I would imagine that it has the potential of having it in it. But from what you're reading, it sounds like it's not in it yet.
Yeah.
And so it's about the procedure of getting it in and how much it costs to add it.
Yeah. And I'm and so because what? I don't want to pay them to do it, because they told me I was buying it already when I
Why don't you take the apps out of your computer and then reinstall it?
Do you think would there be any information in that app that was my own that said I already had the Mexico maps?
Probably not.
You're able to use the GPS right now. Are you able to recenter it on Mexico? Plan a trip, just see what happens?
Well, no, I haven't tried that yet, but I guess I could.
That seems like the catch-all check to see if it's ready to go out of the box, mm-hmm. is just set it up and see if you can plan a trip.
Well, they the old ones that didn't go to Mexico, or even the ones that, you know, if you're asking how far is it to New York and you're in L.A., it would give you the information. But as soon as you cross the river, you might know how far it is, but you don't know. There's no maps. You can't. Doesn't say turn left or right. It just says go north or south. But it's a blank screen with the dot on it. That's you.
Yeah, I've seen that before with Garmin.
Yeah, it'll say go north or go west. And if the sun's out or you're a little confused, can't figure out which way's north or south, you're in trouble.
I've seen that on the Garmin as well. Like, we can't search for things when we're using the Garmin in Mexico, but I can actually see the map and I can save locations and different things, and then it will give me directions to them. But I have to be in Mexico when I'm doing those kinds of things.
Yeah, that's right.
So as an aside, the best thing we've found for when we're driving down or when we're driving into Mexico from the United States, from Canada, is the app called Waze, Waze, on our phones. And it has the clearest pictures. It tells you about traffic. It's a really, really good app.
Hey, can you call me back in 20 minutes? I'm on a Zoom call.
We all heard that, Fred.
Sorry, I thought I had...
Waze. And that's an app you have on your phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Waze. Oh, does
it's
it
actually
have to be
owned
the
by Google now. It's a travel app, though. It'll do things like tell you if a speed trap's coming up.
Yes. It tells you, you know, hazards and different things. And Wazers, as we're known,
Wazers.
You can see the other Wazers on the road. It's got little icons and everything. And around Vegas here, you know, our specific routes that we like to use, some days they're backed up, and Waze will tell you the best route, you know. And, it's active, and Jim Cunningham installed it on my phone, or Bill's phone, the day that we bought the iPhones, and we have loved him ever since for various reasons. But anyways, it was one of the best apps. He also gave us an app at that time called Vino. And it evaluates wine labels when you're in the store, and it gives you all the ratings, it gives you the price and all that kind of stuff. So if we're going to do an iPhone app recommendation list, those are our top two.
Well, you know what? I've just written those down for the apps recommendations for this meeting, because those are two great recommendations.
So I wonder if nobody's doing that Waze on a Mexican phone. I wonder if that has any...
I haven't used it, but I've heard good things about it. I assume it's available. Let me... You know what? I've got... Let me see if I can find it in the App Store here. I'm sure it's available.
You can use it on a Mexican phone.
But is it only an iPhone, guys, or is it Android as well?
I think it's Android as well, because I think it's owned by Google now. I think Google bought it.
I used Waze because a lot of the boaters use Waze. That's what it was originally for, was the boaters.
Oh, really?
Boating, really?
I know
really.
Irving uses Waze.
That's interesting.
How do you use it as a boater?
Boaters used it. That's what it originally was for, apparently. Because I know Irving uses it for the boat, on the boat.
Waze?
Yeah.
It's got to be a different app.
Yeah.
But Waze is available in Mexico. I'm looking at the app right now.
You think it'll go on my iPhone 6?
Sure.
Well, mine's on my iPhone 6S.
Great. Okay.
I'm looking on an old iPod. I bet it would go on an old iPod.
You're talking W-A-Z-E?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
It works well.
Or Zed.
It works well in Costa Rica.
Oh, great.
Oh, that's a good testimony.
That's it. Great. Well, we'll have to try that.
We're all down there, Freddie. You going to put us up?
I'll bet your living room. Everybody bring a sleeping bag.
I like the Hobbit house. It looks pretty cool.
It is cool.
It is. I enjoy it.
Are you on the water?
I'm probably a kilometer away, but I can see about at least 20 miles of the lake that's in front of me. And there's a volcano that's 30 miles away. I can see that.
Wow.
Sounds good.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, $1 million view with a lot less price.
What's your local community like? Are you walking distance from shopping and food, restaurants?
I'm not, no.
No?
If I want to walk down the hill, it's probably a kilometer to the nearest town.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a little bit more.
Do you have a car?
I'd have a car. I bought a car while I was here. Matter of fact, my insurance man's supposed to be here in a half hour, and I'll get insurance on it so I can drive it legally. Yep.
How long are you committed to Costa Rica?
Until I get tired of it.
All right. Just day by day. Just taking it day by day.
That's about right. I've got an airplane ticket for the 23rd of May, I think.
Oh, wow. That's great.
You know, if I decide
some
I
of us might not
it,
be kidding. Hey, I've got a sleeping bag.
I got a couch.
That's great to
so
hear.
Fred, do they only give you a 6-month visa like Mexico or what?
A 90-day visa.
You have to go...
What they do down where I am, anyway, is you go take a tour. And Nicaragua is up the street from me a little ways. And you take a tour into Nicaragua, and you go have lunch there. And as you go across the border, you get your passport stamped. And as you come back across the border, you get a new
90-day clock.
Another 90 days.
All right.
And you have lunch in a different country.
Very nice.
Oh, interesting.
You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah. That's how Bill and Cheryl got to Las Vegas.
Yeah, literally.
Well, I read on Mex Experience yesterday, if anybody got that email about how they're going to change the 6-month visas, and they're not going to automatically give it to you. So if you go to Mex Experience from yesterday, it spells it out what they're going to do. Probably the airplane, they're not going to give you the 180 days.
You're talking about going into Mexico?
Yes.
Linda, you're talking about the FMM.
Yes.
And like, we get our 180 day.
Right.
And you're saying that they're going to do away with...
Yes. If you'd be sure you tell them, yes, apparently they want to do away with it, not let you stay the 6 months. I don't know what they're doing. But go on Mex Experience yesterday, and it was on there.
Mex Experience?
Yes. I got the email yesterday saying they were changing and they were going to try not to give you 180 days anymore.
Hey, just a little off topic. Is Mex Experience a website you would recommend at this meeting?
Oh, absolutely. They have stuff on there about insurance. They have tons of information.
Is it a website? I'm missing.
Yes.
Mex Experience dot something.
I'll get it up.
Cool.
Great.
So Mex Experience. You see, we pay for our FMM. You can get the free one for 7 days, but... And what the airline does, I thought that they were collecting that as part of your transportation taxes and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Here it is. I'll put it on. It's just mexexperience.com.
Okay.
.com.
Well, I'm going to add it to my recommendation lists, and I don't think I've ever spent any real time looking at it, so I'm going to check it out.
See, they have all kinds of topics at the top, and one is assistance, and they have lifestyle assistance, property assistance, insurance coverage.
It must be like a bulletin board, like the Viva San Carlos bulletin board. Who writes the articles?
It's called Mex Experience. And
I'm trying to find it now, but maybe I spelled it wrong.
Yeah, it's just Mex Experience.
M-E-X.
Mexperience.com.
Oh, is that it?
Mexperience.
Mexperience. That's what it's. Instead of experience, it's Mexperience.
Yes.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah. It's experience with an M at the beginning.
It's like Mexperience.
It's a play on experience.
Experience.
It's a play on experience. Right. I've got it on my screen now. Mexperience.
There it is.
Right.
Like McDonald's. It's Mexperience.
Correct.
What does it say in the about section?
There is no about.
It's been on here forever. I mean, I was on it 12 years ago, 13 years ago.
Never looked at it
before. That's
how I
first found out about everything about Mexico and started learning.
This is the reason you come to Computer Club, is to learn about this stuff. We just should have known about it 12 years ago.
Right.
I'm adding it to my list of recommended websites. Of course, I'm going to spell it correctly this time.
Mm-mm.
There we go. And you said it was on here about the travel changes. Is it in the newsletter? Land border update? I bet that's it, right?
I got the newsletter, came... yesterday. Actually, it came the other day, October 28th, it came. And you can sign up for the newsletter.
This is November.
And then you get all this information.
Yeah, their information
It's from
here.
United Kingdom. It's actually in United Kingdom.
Hmm.
Well, I must be looking for the newsletter before this newsletter, because this one talks about the reopening this week, but I'm not seeing anything about changes to the MMM.
Yeah, I just got it. Maybe it was yesterday's and they just gave me it. Let me look at this.
Yeah, because this is what I'm looking at is the November, and it talks about, describes the phased reopening of the U.S. land border, and it talks about entering Mexico and what's required. Oh, but they do have a separate section on the FMM. Maybe they've added the information you're talking about to that section. We'll bring that up and see if it makes any sense. Your Mexican tourist permit, the FMM. I'm just waiting for it to load. Learn about your Mexican visitor's permit. 180 days or less passport holders. No visa required. Get a visitor's permit.
Darn, I should have saved it. It'll take me forever to find it now.
How long can you stay in Mexico? Well, this talks all about the 180 days. And it talks about the question of extending it. But I'm not seeing... Oh, what is this? Oh, there's a warning about continual use of the visitor's permit. But I'm not seeing any kind of warning about them trying to drop.
Yeah, I just got it a couple days ago. That's why I...
Well, Linda, pass it on to me if you find it, and I'll go ahead and repost it on the blog and in the Facebook pages of our club so people can get access to it. And we can follow up next week with it, too, because it would be interesting to know if there's a consorted effort to try and make these permits a shorter period of time.
This is what we have a plan that we're going to walk into El Cadones and purchase our FMM, which is what we've done the last four times we've come. And our question is, so we walk in, we go into Mexico, no problem. We want to come back into the United States to get our car. What do we have to show at the U.S. border on the southern end regarding vaccinations? What is it open to? What is the status right now?
Yeah, what I've read is that you need to show that you've been vaccinated. If you were flying, you'd also have to show that you were COVID-free with a test within 3 days. But because you're going across the land border, what I've read is that it's not necessary to have the COVID test.
Well, and because we walk across in the morning and we come back in the afternoon. So, if you have to have a negative test.
Yeah, if you have to have a COVID test, I mean, they exist. You can get a COVID test in a day in that short period of time. But from what I've read, if you're going across the land border, that COVID test is not required. It's only if you're doing it through air travel.
And everybody, like the border opened on Monday for travel in, and it says in the official documents that you will have to show proof of. But I've been watching the sites, and everybody's saying that they ask you, but you don't have to show any proof or anything. So it's some of them ask and some of them don't, you know.
There you go. Doesn't that sound American?
So it's a risk tolerance thing, How much are we willing to risk?
They don't have to let a dog go through your car either. They don't have to. They might ask to, but they don't have to.
Well, Cheryl, why do you go to El Gadanas?
Well, for a couple of reasons. We like to go there with our gang in Yuma, and we have our favorite restaurants and everything, and we have some vendors that we've gotten to know over the years. But it's very convenient. There's a little bank right there that you buy your FMM in, and then we do not have to stop at Kilometer 21. We do not have to stop at Mariposa. We're just good for the 6 months. We only ever stay 4 at the most. So,
Sounds like a pro tip there, Cheryl. I've never done El Gadanas. I don't even know what we're talking about, but I've got a permanent, so I don't need to do any stopping. That sounds like a pro traveler tip right there. If you guys didn't notice, we just got flagged. We've got 8 minutes till this call is going to end, and I'd kind of like to hear any recommendations you guys have for content. I would actually like to start a round of recommendations with a podcast I think you guys would find interesting, talking about USB-C and why it's so complicated. And if you're having trouble sorting out your USB cables, this is a great description of the different generations of cables, what to expect from each cable, and what we're expecting from USB-4 in the future and how it's going to fix things up. This is a podcast from the VergeClickCast. And it's called What's Next for USB-C. And I was listening to it and thinking this would be appreciated by you folks, because the whole concept of a USB-C cable is so convoluted right now. It's very easy for you to get the wrong cable for what you're trying to do. I'm putting a link to this podcast in our chat, and it's in the document that I've shared with you guys, and I'll add it to this week's meeting blog post. But I would definitely take some time and listen to this. They've actually do an interview with an Australian guy that it was fundamental in the original USB, the foundation of the original USB standard. And it sounds like, in a nutshell, if you don't listen to this, it sounds like maybe not right now, but 5-10 minutes from now, if you want to just make sure you've got the catch-all cable that will do everything you could imagine, you're looking for a USB 4 cable. Seems like that, right? From what I heard, the USB 4 cable will come in two different flavors based on power. It's either going to be able to do some certain amount of watts versus some other certain amount of watts. And if they do use some kind of labeling, it'll have different icons to indicate the power consumption of that cable. But as far as charging and video and data transfer, these things are very convoluted in USB-C up to USB 3.2. But apparently the catch-all will be USB 4. When you're trying to make these decisions, if you're not able to do it right now, I predict 5 minutes being metaphorically speaking, just we're so close into that future that the fix will just be give me a USB 4 cable, and it's going to satisfy all the things that might be confused.
Okay.
I have to recommend it. It's Computer Club, Computer Topic. Anybody got any other recommendations they'd like
I got a documentary.
Oh, yeah? Let's hear it, Jim.
Coded Bias. Now, we talked about that before.
Coded Bias. Is this
it's a documentary.
It sounds, by the title, I'm not familiar with it, but it sounds like from the title it has to do with AI.
It does, yeah. And so it's right on topic for us.
Is it a movie or a TV show? Yeah. Movie?
I can't remember exactly where we found it, but it was either Netflix or Prime or Amazon, somewhere out there.
Just from the title alone, I know nothing about this. But just from the title, I would imagine that this is the topic of these developers coming from a classically white male-centric point of view. Things like facial recognition and decision-making all come from that point of view. And so
that's right.
So
it was making second-class citizens out of people who didn't conform to the ideals that the coders had.
I think the most blatant example of that was when they were misinterpreted some ape pictures as being black people.
Yeah, things like that. But it was also in China how they're actually giving social scores to people and you'd lose points if you misbehaved, and so would all your friends.
Their social credit scores, that's a big deal in China.
That's right. So it goes over that and explains how in China it's all there in front of you. This is what's happening. But in North America, it's happening, but we don't know it's happening.
Yeah, we'll make a fundamental change and we'll exchange social credits for Bitcoin soon.
There you go.
We're a capitalistic society, so we're going to be able to buy our social credit score with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we have 1 minute left, and I just want to say, Scott, I really need you to put the time zone on the announcements from now on.
Hey, I do. The time zone says Sonoran, Arizona time.
Probably, yeah. But I didn't realize I wasn't in that time zone. Okay.
All right, well, is it less than a minute? I guess we've got to say goodbye.
How about if you put GMT time?
GMT time, yeah.
That'd be good.
That's what she means, isn't it? She means pick a standard time that we can all agree on.
Yeah.
Well, GMT minus 7 or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. That's the right time, isn't it? GMT minus 7.
All right.
Remember that next time. Thank you guys for being here. We'll see you next week. Until then, tech on.
All righty.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Everyone. I look forward to next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
Paul. Bye, Mom.
Hey, are you having to leave right now?
No, let me just sign off here.
Okay.
This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. And if you are somebody looking for computer help out there on the internet, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of me. Mom, this call is going to end. Why don't we go back to the previous meet code? That should work now.
Okay.
And I'm going to sit here on a meet with my mom. So until next Tuesday, you all tech on.
I don't have it.
You don't have the previous meet code? Whoops. You're going to find it because we just got disconnected. Are you there? Nope. Here I am.